Welcome, everybody. If I could have your attention, we're going to go ahead and get started. A couple of housekeeping things, and then we'll do some introductions. We'll set the context for our time together, and then we'll just launch into discussion. Let me start with an introduction. My name is Bill McCoy. I'm with the Seed Company, and I'm joined by Dave Thomas from ABS, who you all heard from earlier today. If you're wondering why I'm speaking into a microphone that has no amplification, it's because the session is being recorded. And this microphone and Dave's lavalier microphone are the way in which we'll be able to record all of that. So it's being recorded in the back, but not amplified in the room. So if you, as we engage in discussion, it might be a little awkward, but to the degree that we can, we're going to pass the mic around to the people who are speaking so that we can record the thoughts in the discussion. Okay? So that's the first bit of housekeeping. Second is there is an attendance sheet that's being passed around. They want to keep track of who attended which sessions. So if you'll take the time to fill it out and then just pass it around to all the tables, hopefully within the next hour or so we'll get through and everybody will have put your name and probably your organization and maybe some other items on there. As we were planning for this session, Dave and I thought it'd probably be good to begin with just some introductions. It's a little bit of a smaller group than what we had out there, and it probably wouldn't take too long if we just went around the room and everybody introduced yourself, just tell your name, the organization that you're with, and what your role is in that organization. So you heard me say, my name is Bill McCoy, and I'm with the Seed Company. My role is the Chief Field Officer, and so I'm a part of the executive leadership team, and my specific domain or area of focus is all of our field engagements. So Dave, why don't you go next, and then I'll begin passing the microphone around.
My name is Dave Thomas, and I am the Managing Director for Translation for the American Bible Society. I'm relatively new with ABS, just started working with them in May, and I'm responsible for all of our global translation work.
My name is Billy Walkemeyer. I'm with Wycliffe US. I'm the Director of Financial Services for our global projects team.
Chuck Tesaro, Lutheran Bible Translators. I live in Nigeria and spend most of our time there working with projects.
Jim Leisch with Lutheran Bible Translators. I'm a regional program director for programs in Eastern, Southern Africa, and a few other places in the world.
Johan Giosanu, Senior Director Biblica, Global Translation.
Brian Kelly, SIL, International Oral Translation Services Coordinator.
Bibi Nedelec, Director for Training, responsible for consultant development for SIL, based in France.
Andy Warren, Translation Consultant with UBS, with responsibility for Bible for Muslims and French translation resources.
So I'm Mike Downey, and I'm Director of Projects for Wycliffe USA.
Right, I'm Jeff Green. I run the translation department at the Canadian Bible Society.
Hi, I'm Christy Davis. I'm VP of Field Operations for Seed Company.
I'm Kate Burnett Firebaugh. I'm the Field Ops Director for Africa at Seed Company.
I'm Melva Wall, and I'm the Coordinator of Translation Services for Pioneer Bible Translators.
I'm John Eppley. I'm serving as Language Assessment Coordinator for SIL internationally as well as for Asia, based in San Antonio.
Stuart Young with Mission Mutual Partner Support Director is my title.
Debbie Hatfield. I'm with SIL International, International Language Services for Language Programs, Strategy, and Support. And also part-time working at Francophone Africa still.
Hi, my name is Susan. Last name is Seabog, and I am with Deaf Bibles Translator Society, Deaf Bible Society. CRM manager. And then Bill Ross. I'm Curriculum Development Specialist for DBS. And I'm Stuart Thiessen, and I work for Deaf Bible Society, and I'm currently involved with doing some of the consultant development and translation team projects and training, linguistics development, research, etc. And hi, my name is Jason, and I'm with Deaf Bible Translators, or DBS, and I have focused two parts with translation projects and also overseeing some of the dissemination of the scriptural engagement. Hello, my name is Mike Bravo, and I serve for the Eurasia coordinator for DBS.
My name is Jean Watome. I work with the American Bible Society translation work, sub-Saharan Africa.
Michelle Axelson, I'm a member of Wycliffe US, the Director of Partnerships for Global Partnerships.
Okay, thanks everybody. I know it's a little weird to speak into a microphone and not have it amplify, but just as a reminder, it's not amplifying. And so if you want to be heard, make sure that you speak up so that we can all hear you. You are in the field engagements discussion group. And as we were talking about how we would spend our time together, we thought it'd be good to maybe back up a little bit and tell you about some of the context previously around the desire for engagement and collaboration within the E10 Alliance to be pushed down a little bit deeper than just the CEO level. I think we all know that the CEOs of the 10 organizations that make up the E10 Steering Committee meet on a monthly basis, and they've been doing that for a number of years. And that's been quite encouraging to see the collaboration happen at the CEO level. One of the things that the E10 Steering Committee is desiring to see happen is to push that collaboration a little bit deeper into each organization so that more operational leaders are engaged in strategy, sharing of information, communication, and just in general collaboration. So it was 2 years ago when the first effort to bring together something like this happened. It was at DFW Airport, and the steering committee had asked for each of the organizations to have a next level operational leader come to a meeting. It was an all-day meeting at the airport for the purpose of beginning to push that collaboration a little bit deeper within the organizations. It was a great meeting. There were probably about a dozen or so people there total. Lots of good interaction happened, definitely some relationship building. But when it came to the point of actually trying to get some traction around collaboration altogether, that's where we sort of hit a wall. And we had the one meeting, and the desire was for us to have additional meetings beyond that. But that never really materialized. And so this is kind of, to use an American phrase, this is a second bite at that apple. Or at least the beginnings of it. Now, this is a discussion group. It's not a working group. So a working group will come later, and that'll be something that the steering committee invites different individuals into. Some of you may be a part of that. But for today, we're not going to do the work of the working group. So we're not going to get into a lot of the detail around collaboration and strategic planning together. What we are going to do is to sort of set the table for the working group, and that's part of the reason why we're recording the session, is so that that working group would have the benefit of listening in if they weren't here and be able to sort of pick it up from where we leave it and then run with it. Now, as Dave and I were talking about how we would frame up our time together, we really have two sessions. We have this session, and then there's another one after lunch. By the way, if you're in this session, you don't necessarily have to be in the second session. It will be a different topic, still related to field engagement. You may come back if you'd like to, but you're not committed just because you're here in this session. And we won't take it personally if you choose not to come back. That's okay.
You won't. I might. I'm kidding. Dave, I'm kidding. No.
Dave will take it personally.
No.
I might a little bit too. Anyway, so we talked about dividing our time together into really two topics. And I'm going to introduce those topics, and then I'm going to invite Dave to sort of guide us in our discussion around the table. It's going to be a free-flowing discussion, but we will pass around the microphone so that we can capture all the good content. So the two topics are these. How would we go about defining the major obstacles hindering us in engaging the remaining 2,100 languages that don't have a single verse of Scripture? That's the first topic. The second topic is, how would we go about defining the major obstacles that are hindering us in completing the all-access outcomes of the current work that we're all engaged in? So there's two different areas of focus. One is in the beginning of engaging in the remaining languages that haven't yet been started, that have a need. It's 2,100 or so, according to progress.bible. That's the first topic, and that's the one that we're going to dive into today. The one after lunch will be about engaging the remaining, completing the goals relative to the E10 2033 or all-access goals in the current work that we're all engaged with. And specifically what we want to talk about is, what's our current context? What's the current environment that we find ourselves in? What are the obstacles? Not just what are the obstacles, but really what's the right process of collaboration for all of us together to begin engaging, listing out what those obstacles are, and then figuring out how we could collectively work together to try to overcome them. So with that, let me pass it over to Dave and let Dave sort of kick off our discussion, and I'll run the mic around as we have, as you have an idea to share or a thought.
So as we've talked about, what would be the best use of this time? Bill and I debated and talked among, we're both verbal processors, so it was helpful for us to talk with one another about how could we most effectively use this time? And the reality is that what the E10 Alliance has done has given us a vision to shoot for, right? So when we think about the all-access goals, we know the direction that we're headed, right? And some of our organizations have a more finely tuned focus on starting the remaining languages that don't yet have any translation. Others of our organizations are a little bit more focused on a particular list of 100 languages that might need a second translation. But in terms of the all-access goals, we know the direction that we're headed, and that's extraordinarily helpful, because if you don't know where you're headed, you're never going to get there to begin with, right? And so that's a beautiful thing. That's really very helpful. What we hope to kind of call out during this time is not so much the direction that we're headed, because we know what that is. What we hope to call out during this time is more about the process of us determining where we are right now as an alliance, right? So if you don't know where you're headed, you're never going to get there. But if you don't know where you're starting, you also are going to have a very difficult time getting to where you're headed, right? And so part of what we hope to accomplish during this time is to talk about how would we collect the right information to give ourselves a really clear and accurate picture as to where the Bible movement is right now, what our current reality really is. So we could spend this time discussing what the current reality is, and I think those things are going to come up, so we don't want to hold those things down, but what's probably, we felt like would be more effective is asking the question, what is the process that we could go through to determine what our current reality is, right? So let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. So as Bill and I were talking, we realized that so many of us work in various different places around the world, right? And so the current reality on the ground is very different from a place like Papua New Guinea compared to a place like the Sahel region of Africa, right? So the obstacles that are faced there are different. The problems that are there are different. The opportunities that exist there are very different. And so you can't just build a strategy based on one region because it won't apply to another region, right? However, there may be the reality of commonalities between the regions, even though they wouldn't necessarily be identical in terms of their problems and opportunities. It's very possible that there are commonalities between Papua New Guinea and Sahel Africa that if we could solve a problem in one location, it might really help solving that problem in another location as well. And so the question is, how do we figure out what those commonalities are? How do we know what the problems are around the world? It's a massive challenge, right? You think about the number of countries that exist with Bible translation needs. There's a number of different countries that are out there. And so how would we gather that information? So the question that I'm asking right now is really, in a large part, in terms of the first problem, how do we start the remaining needs? is the process of determining the problems that are stopping us from starting the remaining needs, or the opportunities that are out there that would really help us start the remaining needs. That's the process we want to talk about. So the question that we're asking, okay, that we want to open to the floor is, how would we gather the information about the problems that exist around the world and the opportunities that exist around the world that would help us as a movement start the remaining needs that exist? Does that make sense? Questions about this thing that I'm posing here? So what processes might we go through? Go ahead. What's the question?
My question is really more about the process and putting down the problems and making sure that we understand the different problems.
My question is about the process. Are you asking more about the process, or are you actually asking each of us to identify the problems itself?
That's okay. Thank you for asking. That's a good clarification. So we're actually, if you have a burning problem that you're wanting to highlight, we don't want to throw that away and ignore that. But really what we're asking about is, what process should we go through? We're thinking about ideas about processes to identify the problems themselves. Not so much what are the problems, because that's important, but how would we identify the problems that exist globally? Does that answer your question? Yeah.
I want to suggest one way of, Dave, I'm talking about the 2100 that are still not started.
Yep.
So I give an example. My responsibility at ABS is sub-Saharan Africa, so I have a cluster of countries that are assigned to me as a program manager. So in the spirit of collaboration, I'm suggesting one of the processes we could explore is to approach that identification of needs around the 2100 in a collaborative way. So for example, if there's any organization represented here if there's an individual here who has Cameroon, for example, as one of their responsibilities. I am responsible for Cameroon. The alliance members, implementing members, who have responsibility for each country can agree to come together in the identification phase, the data collection phase. So it's not the Bible Society /ABS doing its thing, SIL doing its thing, Wycliffe doing its thing. We are all in the same country. We are going to the same churches. We are probably wanting to go to the same community. So I am proposing an exploration of a collaborative, very intentional team at the country level to do that assessment. So each one brings their piece, and that same team does the cleaning up of the data, the filtering, the testing, the checking it out back and forth with the churches. So the end product is something that we say, yeah, this came from the bottom up. This is what the church wants. This is what the people group is. This is vetted by the end users. And only then can we say, yes, this is the priority of this particular country. But it's not the voice of one organization, is a collective voice of that operational team that we are wanting to build up.
Thank you very much. Do you want, Jason, I think he had a question.
At Deaf Bible Society, one of the goals that we have is to have all the Bibles in the signed translations of the languages that people use. For example, we know that there's audio and there's writing, and our focus is obviously not going to be there. Our focus is primarily in American Sign Language or the sign language of that country. So one of the things that we are seeing as a deprivation is an area of communication between people who can hear and people who are deaf. Any organization that collaborates with Deaf Bible Society, there seems to be a breakdown in communication. For example, I caught briefly your name, ma'am. I don't know your name. Okay, I briefly caught your name and some of the things that you were saying. Jade?
Jane.
Thank you. And I agree with what Jane is talking about, because one of the things that we're trying to do is build collaboration with UBS and DOOR and other GSLT. These are all organizations, SIA, all of these organizations who are partners. And I guess we're trying to ask, which language are you going to be working on? Which people group will you be working with? And we recognize the challenge is all about funding many times. Where is the money flowing from? We recognize that as a barrier as well. So that's a problem for us. Mm-hmm. For us to fully engage with a project, as a person who is deaf, I want to say that oftentimes the concerns I have relate to communication breakdown more than where the money's coming from. It's more like an organization with people who can hear that are run by people who can hear, and an organization that's run by people who are deaf, for example, Deaf Bible Society. How do we communicate? How are we able to keep our communication open and fluid so that we have the ability to fund those projects and have the money flow effectively? I feel as though that the language projects that we're funding is exactly the barrier we're facing. So what is our responsibility? What is your responsibility? What is your role? What is our role? How do we get common goals? Because, for example, oral programs, they have a lot of experience. They're light years ahead of us with the amount of experience that they have. And we would like to learn from your mistakes so that we don't reinstitute those same types of errors. But we don't have the ability to communicate with those people very often, because what happens is people who can hear and who speak often say, oh, I have nothing to do with sign language because we're not on the same page. But it's a language, so we are on the same page.
Jason, that's a great point. And I really appreciate you bringing that up. The communication breakdown is something I know that I think many of us have experienced in the past, but I think there's a common commitment to overcome that because of the partnership that we feel together. Thank you for highlighting it, though, because if we don't highlight those types of things, then we're likely to miss them.
Yep.
So thank you. Yep. Who's next?
Okay, I want to make a suggestion we were uncertain as to how large this group was going to be and how, what would be the best way to do this. I think there's enough people here that we could break into table groups to have this discussion so you guys could talk among yourselves. Are you okay with doing that?
Yeah, I think it's great.
Okay. So what would be helpful is if you could assign somebody at your table, and you guys might, there's just two of you here, and we might want to join, yeah, you might want to join the other table. Assign someone to be a note taker. Let me just real quickly tell you again, the question that we're really trying to ask is, how do we identify, what process do we go out to identify the problems that exist? Not so much what are the problems, but how would we figure out what the problems are? And then surface those problems on a global level so that we could see, are there commonalities among various geographic locations so that we could go about trying to figure out how to solve those problems as a group? So, Jim?
You said, how to identify the problems, but also you used the word opportunities.
Correct,
and
yes.
And I think that's easier for me to think about.
Yep.
What are the opportunities, the situation that, where the scriptures, the need for scriptures, the request for scriptures,
yes,
is existing, and how to engage with those.
Yep. That's great. Okay, so let's take a few minutes and let maybe 15, 20 minutes around your tables, okay? Identify someone to be a note taker, and then we'll come back together and we'll share what you guys have identified as potential ways of surfacing opportunities, as Jim was talking about, and problems that exist, so that we can identify a process to go through to really determine what is our current reality in the Bible movement. So let's take like 20 minutes discussion time, and then we'll come back and we'll share what you guys have talked about at your tables.
Okay, we're gonna circle up and share our feedback from the three tables. Yeah, I sampled the discussion at two of the tables, and it looked like there was some good discussion really at all three. Hopefully some good ideas to share. What we're going to do is we're going to invite each table. You've selected a spokesperson. Let that person sort of stand up and share into this microphone the different items that you've come up with. Run through the list, and then we'll invite the other tables to ask questions to clarify. But we're going to try to do this at 10 minutes each. 10 minutes, 10 minutes, and 10 minutes. And that should round out our time together. I'm going to suggest we start with the table at the back.
Okay, one real quick. The note taker, once you have are finished and your notes are complete, can you make sure you give those notes to us so that we have them and we can catalog them and then maybe send them out to everyone? No, you can't keep them. You have to give them your notes.
Yeah, so who would like to share from this table?
Give them the mic. There we go. Right. We had a lively discussion identifying some of the challenges. And the first question that came up is, to whom do we take questions that are coming to us from both hearing individuals or regional deaf communities, and take those questions and that information back to the various service organizations that are attempting to develop projects? That's one question that came up. Another question that came up is, have regional consultations been developed to bring together, obviously in our case, deaf stakeholders and other organizations who are working with the deaf in those regions? How can we further engage local alliances and organizations to assist in that process? And one conclusion is that we need to have a deaf summit, similar to this with hearing individuals, but having a deaf summit. And as the note take, I would add, we'll provide sign language to English interpreters for the sign language impaired individuals. So y'all can be part of that.
Any questions from the other tables for the items that you've heard from this table? Anything need clarification?
Speak up so we can hear you.
I do want to add one more thing to his sharing of thoughts. I feel very strongly that the linguistic research that's related to sign language is something that is not talked about enough, and I think compared to people who can hear who have spoken languages, the research done there is significantly larger than what's been done with the deaf community. So I think that one of the other issues related to that is the fact that language deprivation is very predominant in our area of study and area of work. People often grow up without any language at all, being isolated and the only deaf person in their family. Maybe they've never experienced the idea of education or receiving language that they can use to communicate. So there needs to be research to identify problems that are out there that we're facing, because it will impact translation. It not only impacts translation, but it impacts the community of people who receive the language, who then have to read the Bible because they may not know the signs that they're seeing. In addition to that, Jason would like to add that the linguistic research that we can do best identifies what is the practice that the deaf community needs to have put in place to equip those individuals so that the community who receives the translated scriptures then have the ability to make use of those scriptures. If we equip those people properly, we can make acceleration become a pattern that we always follow, and scripture acceleration and dissemination will be much faster. I know there was something else I wanted to say, but I lost my train of thought.
Okay, so if we wanted to summarize some of the ideas that came from this table, one of them was linguistic research for deaf communities. That would definitely surface some of the problems that exist that are stopping us from starting the remaining sign language translation needs. So deeper, more effective, more more linguistic research among deaf communities. That's a good idea. Another idea that was talked about was regional consultations that brought deaf communities together that could surface some of the problems that exist. So you would have a group of people from a particular region come together. They would say, here are the remaining language needs in our area. What would stop us from starting these translation projects in the next 5 years or so? By the way, that's also an idea that could apply to hearing audiences, regional consultations. Did I miss, are there other ideas that came out of that group that I missed that I didn't highlight? No?
That's good.
Oh, the Deaf Summit, thank you.
The Deaf Summit was the other one.
That's right. So sort of a global Deaf Summit of those who have an interest in sign language translation projects, bringing them all together to globally highlight those needs. Thank you. That's really good. Thanks for bringing that up.
Okay, we'll do this other table here in the front. Next.
Brian Kelly with SIL. So our group sort of went through a journey, and so I'm just going to kind of try and track that journey, and you'll be able to synthesize it for yourselves. We started just simply with the question of what constraints, parameters, funding, and to start off with, they said no constraints. So dream big if you needed to. So then it was, okay, well then you could bring reps from possible stakeholders from all over the world in one big meeting. That was then kind of pushed on and thought it'd be much better if it was in country or maybe regionally. That you already have some existing national forums. Organizations are already talking to each other in a lot of contexts. So tap into that. They've already got the relationships. They've already got the trust. And I think trust was something that kind of permeated a lot of this. And that'll come out, even though it wasn't explicitly stated. And so then with that, there'll need to be some principles of collaboration. And one of them was do no harm. For example, that if you bring in a lot of money, a big outside footprint, that can really disrupt things. So that whatever is done, you have to first have sussed out these principles of what will be healthy and effective. Also recognition that some issues will persist or be difficult to suss out. So for example, dialects. That's kind of an ongoing, what really are the needs in relation to this dialect and this dialect and this dialect? So cooperation, collaboration needs to happen organically within a national context, that if an outsider comes in and just offers to organize a meeting, people will come together, but will it really foster and engender the relationships? No, they'll not necessarily. That it's much better if a local organization or a local group, if they start organizing themselves and come together in that way. Someone can be a catalyst, but they need to be a local player, but with no interest in owning what comes from it or in promoting themselves. Okay? Another thing that came up, and this would maybe be a sense of principle, is just a need to acknowledge the diversity of vision and goals of the partners as they embrace the E10 goals. So various organizations, we can generally affirm we want to end Bible poverty, but the way you come at that will be different. And then E10 needs to decide if their approach to this will be a top-down effort or if they will look to catalyze a bottom-up approach. And do you guys want to add anything to that?
Great. What questions from the other tables around what you just heard from this one? Yep.
Thanks. John Epley, SIL. I think it's less a question than an observation of the couple of your main points there is the do-no-harm approach, as well as wanting to catalyze grassroots-level partnership and collaboration discussion. And that is so hard to do, to really bring those two together. I think it's a lot harder than we often give it credit for, because there are politics between organizations at any level. And how do you do this in a way that you aren't empowering one in unhealthy and dysfunctional ways within that mix is just an observation.
Yeah, maybe to piggyback on that idea or that thought, you've heard it said from the platform, I think yesterday, this collaboration between 10 different organizations as a, the term miracle was used, or miraculous was used. In any one country, think of all the different organizations that are doing, that are targeting these languages. There's at least 10, and in many cases more, or maybe a few less, but the complexity of the relationships that exist there is a whole other element of collaboration where we need some miracle to happen as well, right? So that's a great point. That's calling out a good. Yeah, we have a question back here.
One of the things that I really love about equality is how much I hate it. But there's also the element of accountability that goes part of this. I think that if we maintain accountability, it can prevent a lot of this organizational lack of collaboration. So one of the things that I think we have learned internally is putting systems in place, maybe project management systems, that helps the various departments. But let me tell you, the departments that have this project management placement really resist it. They don't like it because they fear the transparency. They feel that other departments will look down on them and say, oh, you're not doing as much as we are, or things like that. Mm-hmm. So it's the things that we have historically not discussed. And I think this miracle that we keep talking about needs to happen between organizations as well, not just internally. I think creating an environment of accountability, equality, and transparency really needs to happen. I know it's painful, and there's going to be a lot of shame that comes to the surface, but I think that we need to identify those factors that are causing cracks within our foundation, that are causing cracks in the relationships that we're trying to build. So we need to resolve those things so that if it happens with intentionality, that we can actually achieve that goal of 2033. And will we do that if we're willing to be that transparent, et cetera?
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Yeah, thank you, Jason. Great point. Any other feedback for this group? So, in summarizing a couple of the ideas that came out of the group, one that I think really kind of hits at the heart of what we were wanting to surface is this idea around principles of collaboration. What is it? What are we agreeing to do, in other words, and how are we agreeing to operate as organizations that that have our own independent accountabilities to independent boards, and as part of an alliance that wants to collaborate. At a level where the CEOs are gathering around the table once a month and interaction is happening there, we've seen a pretty good model for that. But to drive that deeper and empower people deeper in the organizations to collaborate, we need a set of principles or common values that we all agree to and that we are willing to submit to accountability mutually mm-hmm. to one another. That was a really great insight. Also the idea about collaborating at probably the national level, I think was another one that was raised within this group that I think is a great idea as well. Back table. Let's hear your thoughts on this topic as well.
Okay, so I have some notes here that we took around process to identify problems or opportunities. Some of this has already been brought up, but I'll just read through what we had. First is bringing people from various organizations around a table and to see what common themes arise. Need to include those on the ground as well as administrative implementers. Find a way to include local or collect local voices, even if they're not able to be at the table. Finding ways to segment this into regions or areas and so that all of the voices get addressed and not just certain ones. To make time for reflection and opportunities to listen. There's a weakness of so much planning, strategy, and processes without enough action taking place. Are we using processes to identify the issues and then applying creative solutions? cross-referencing global strategies or solutions so that we can learn from each other, find ways to capture information, issues and problems to solve, bright spots or principles applied in a solution. So just a quick example, one of the things you talked about is a solution that might be applied in Papua New Guinea, for example. The principle of how that solution is applied might actually translate really well in Africa, even if you wouldn't make the same action steps, you could look at the underlying principles. The need to find connectors of solutions to problems and problems to solutions. And then the last two are commitment to implement a dual arm, a grassroots voice, as well as organizational knowledge of coming together. We talked a good bit about the fact that you have, if all of us sat around the table and listed 10 or 20 things that we said, what are some of the problems, the overlap of those is going to be pretty significant. And even if you take that to a local level, you might have a few things added, but it's probably going to be a lot of the same type of things. So it doesn't mean a discount of the local voice, but a way to include them while also still moving things forward for what we are aware of needs fixing. And then keep track of deep or thorough information to track and share beyond just the overarching lists. So similar to kind of what Jason was saying, that aspect of being much more transparent about what's happening on a global level. Did I miss anything?
Any questions or anything that you would like to hear more about on one of those items from some of the other tables? I have one. I'd like to hear more about connectors. You talked about connectors of problems and solutions to problems. I think you mean people, but could you maybe unpack that a little bit for us?
Ooh, that was Michelle, so I'm going to put her on the spot.
Thanks. More that we were talking about, you need to actually have the list of problems and the list of solutions, but you need to have the kind of people at the table that can kind of see where they might connect, even if it's not readily apparent. They can see the seed of one in the other.
Yeah, Jason.
One of the things that I want to do is I want to support those idea about the connectors because I think it's really important. I think it's on the list of things that we've learned. For example, if there's a problem within a relationship between an organization that people can hear, but it may not necessarily be a problem that people in the deaf community recognize as a problem. But I think connecting those ideas, helping the solution be obvious is critical for us. Because it may not be the best way to actually resolve the solution if you come in and just do it. As opposed to talking about including those local people, making sure that they understand that the solution and the problems are actually related. And so they can actually see the examples. Because oftentimes, you're going to get pushback if they don't feel that those are relational, somehow related. And I think that's something that we at Deaf Bible Society can really learn from.
Any other thoughts or questions for this group? Yeah.
One of the things that I've been thinking about a lot is many times we come together to discuss the problems, we make lots of lists, and we come up with solutions. I don't want this is Bill Ross' personal feeling, I don't want the solutions to be prescriptive. I think it's really important that we don't tell people how to solve their problems, especially if they're the ones who are feeling it. I think that it has to be empathic. They have to feel that they have to want to solve it themselves. Mm-hmm. And that may mean they need to grieve, they need to get angry, they need to, whatever the process they have to go through to get to the point where the solution makes sense to them, I think we need to recognize that. Mm-hmm. That's a journey for every one of us. Secondly, I think that many times, my biggest fear, and this has happened to me many times when I've worked in organizations, is that we make a list of problems and solutions and then it goes into a computer and never goes anywhere. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how that just angers everyone. Yeah. Because we met about this, we spent the entire day commiserating, collaborating, the whole nine yards, we're all done, we come up with what we think is a solution, and it stalls. Mm-hmm. That just leads to hurt. A phrase that I learned from a friend of mine a long time ago was, unresolved hurt always leads to anger. Yeah. And I think if we can recognize that by perpetuating the idea that we're really going to help you and never helping you, makes it worse.
Yeah.
One of the things that I just want to highlight, because I sat in on this group for a little bit and that group for a little bit, but one of the things that I heard at this table was a commitment to implementation, to move past the meeting. And that needs to be a core, again, back to the values or the principles of collaboration. I think that's one of the ones that we all sense is there's a real danger here that we could have a meeting or even have a working group that meets on a regular basis and we never get to the point of actually taking steps together that helps us move towards these goals and actually accomplishing them. So a commitment to implementation was a really strong theme at this table. I'm hearing it as well here. And I think that, you know, when we get to the point of developing a list of values or principles, I think that's probably one of them that needs to rise to the top.
I think a commitment to implementation is good, but I think to Jason's point, it's having the right implementers. We're not necessarily the implementer to every solution. And so I think that has to be thought through as you're designing what comes next.
That's a good point.
Good point. Yeah,
Mike. I think to maybe dovetail on that a little bit, you have to be convinced that the solution that's been come up with, that you buy into it, that you believe it is really going to have traction, it is going to see benefit.
Yep, that's a good point. I think also one of the themes that I heard at a few tables was this idea of national collaboration or collaborating at the national level, because that's very likely, in other words, inviting the input from the people who will be the implementers themselves to come up with solutions collaboratively. And then, therefore, you hopefully have the buy-in that you need and the implementers involved so that you can actually get to that traction point. That's a good call out.
So I just wanted to, we're nearing the end of our time. I wanted to thank you all for your engagement. This is incredibly rich and very helpful. And I wanted to share one more idea, because as Bill and I were trying to figure out what we were going to do for this session, it was almost impossible for us to not think of, what would be an idea that we would have to try to help surface the problems and figure out what they are. And one of the ideas, and honestly this was Bill's idea, one of the ideas that we came up with was the idea of a shared spreadsheet. And so if we could take the remaining language needs, both sign language, hearing, all of the remaining language needs, and divide them out by country. And I was going to, I kind of put together a mock spreadsheet, and then I was digging through my bag and realized that I didn't have the adapter to connect to this wire to show you my sample spreadsheet, unfortunately. I need a USB-C. If anybody has a USB-C adapter, that would, somebody have one? HDMI to USB-C? Excellent. So the idea is that this spreadsheet would have a tab for every single country that has a remaining need on it. And so, let's see if I can do this. I don't know if this is going to work. We'll give it a shot.
While you're doing that, Dave, let me just give a little bit of context around this.
Keep going.
We initially started with the idea that our time together would be best served if we could pull the spreadsheet up and we could begin talking about the different problems, challenges, obstacles that need to be overcome and brainstorming ideas. And so that's kind of the beginning of well, let's get a spreadsheet going was, you know, one recommendation. I will say that Dave really helped out in saying, you know, looking at the whole spreadsheet altogether is going to be helpful. We need to break it out by country. And so we've sort of started to do that. We didn't want to bring this up at the beginning because it feels prescriptive, and we would have missed out on the good content and creative thinking that happened around the tables. This will be an idea that is also shared just in the same vein as everybody else's. It's got limits. Obviously, it doesn't look like we're going to be able to put it up on the screen
right.
for technical reasons. But, yeah, the idea was that if we had the information together in a centralized place that we could all look at and we could see that, then you could have all the people who are working in and implementing Bible translation work in Cameroon look at Cameroon together and articulate together the challenges that they have and the opportunities and begin to collaboratively plan about how we would achieve the all-access goals in Cameroon.
Yeah.
A central point around which we could all sort of orbit
yeah.
for strategic planning. That was the idea behind it.
Yeah, so the idea would be if a problem in a particular area was that we don't have enough consultants, that would be a That would be an obstacle. That's a problem that would stop us from starting the remaining language needs. Well, this spreadsheet would allow us to call that out as a problem in this particular context. Another idea would be that we don't have the vitality of the remaining language needs is heading in the wrong direction, right? So that's a problem that might tell us that, well, maybe we don't need to start translation in these languages. Maybe we need to come up with a different solution. And we need to change the designation of those languages as a remaining need. I don't know. Another problem that we might come into contact with would be that multilingualism is taking over in this particular context. And, you know, we need to identify that and ask what would the solution be for that. So this spreadsheet would allow us to kind of catalog those problems and potential opportunities by a given context. And if it was shared among everybody, it would allow us to actually fill the spreadsheet out globally, right? We would have people who are working in those given contexts would have the ability to identify those problems in that area.
Multilingualism can be an opportunity. So just want to encourage that.
Absolutely.
Thinking.
Absolutely. And so what we're talking about is we want to know what it is in a particular location. And right now, we don't really have a central way of the entire movement communicating with one another in terms of what are the needs in this context, how are we going to start translation of all the remaining needs in this given context. How are we going to do that? What are the things that are stopping us? So that was one idea that Bill and I had, and I don't know if you guys have thoughts or concerns about that potential thing. Andy.
Are there still the organizations represented at this table? I think we're not interested in that spreadsheet.
No.
Until some Cameroonian people said that those were translation desires and not just top-down needs. We'd want to hear that from people, from Cameroonians.
Right. Okay, yeah, that's good. That's good. So if we were going to hear that from Cameroonians, how would we track what they said?
I'm not sure what I understand their question. What they said.
So let's say we did a local consultation in Cameroon. How would we communicate to the rest of the world what those local Cameroonians identified as their desire?
We wouldn't do a local consultation in Cameroon. Cameroonians would have a local consultation and then get back to you.
That's what I mean. I'm not...
No, but the devil's in the details. These are the important details.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, and I validate what you're saying. Yeah. Okay, my point is, how do we communicate with so that we can all collaborate together? That's the question. That's what this idea was hoping to.
Well, our emphasis in this table was that should be at national level.
Absolutely.
That it doesn't be.
No,
a,
we don't disagree.
Doesn't
with that.
Be done at a top level. There isn't a top level spreadsheet.
Okay.
Or we have enough top levels. Detail, perhaps. I mean, enough databases at the top level. Actually, it needs to go down to the national level.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So this might actually feel like I'm opening a can of worms and throwing this out to you at the very last minute for you to be paralyzed by, but here's my thought. I really want to ask about, have we done enough thinking about the common framework and how we frame it in other cultures, how they understand the process of ownership, how they understand the process of stewardship, partnership, et cetera. What is the way that they look at that? And is the priority that the prioritization that we've set the same as that have they would set it? Maybe as Westerners, we think about it one way and they think about it in a very different way. Are the problems that are coming up because we haven't thought in their cultural frame? We've not identified their cultural frame well enough? So this may be something that we apply also to deaf people when we think about that perspective about the common framework. How do the people who we're trying to get to buy in define our terms? So when we talk about local, the local expression of the church, what does that mean? For example, in the deaf context, if we're talking about the closest church that people who can hear attend that provides a sign language interpreter, is that considered the local church? Or are we talking about churches that are run and attended by deaf community members? So what are we talking about? Some of the terminology that we use in our everyday language, we have an understanding of that.
but maybe the person who's receiving that doesn't define it the same way we do. And so those are some questions I have that are worth clarifying.
Yep, for sure. Thank you. That's a great point. It's noon right now, so we're eating into your lunchtime. But I'll let you, we'll make this the last comment.
I've had these same questions, but I won't attempt to answer them just now. But having just moved back from Cameroon, I am aware that Cameroon Bible Society, SIL Cameroon Capital, have sat down together, looked at the list in progress.bible, and looked at where everybody's working and where they expect to work at this point. So just encourage you, this is happening. I happen to know it's Cameroon. I've started talking to my SIL colleagues, how can we share that more broadly? I mean, you know, it's going to be progress.bible list. So what do we? So I'm happy to talk further.
That's great. Thank you.
Just I want to highlight something here because it's tied to do no harm. And I think that's something this table up here in the front has really helped us to understand better. Our partners may not be looking to us to provide leadership in this vein. In some places, they might be helped along with a catalytic influence that perhaps we could bring. But in many cases, they need no help. They are already there. And so in the vein of do no harm, the first thing we ought to do is ask, what do others know that we don't yet know, and how far along are they already in terms of collaborating, and how could we take a back seat and listen and learn from what they have to say? That's a wonderful example of something this table is talking about, and that I heard just a moment ago. Thank you all for participating. Thank you for being here for this session. Our next session will be focused, it'll be after lunch, I think it's at 1:30. And it will be focused on the other item that we brought up at the beginning, which is we're all engaged in a number of languages today that are a part of the circle, a part of the all-access goals. And the same idea, what is the right process to go through for us to understand our current reality in terms of completing those milestone goals in those languages? So that's what we'll be coming back to at 1:30 for those of you who'd like to come back. Thank you again for participating. Let me pray for us really quickly, and then we'll just wrap up. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be together. We recognize that this is a gift. It doesn't happen all the time. But we also thank you for a spirit of collaboration and unity, a desire for transparency and vulnerability. We thank you, Lord, for good insights and self-awareness that help us to hold each other accountable. Lord, we ask that you would take this thing that you seem to be doing in the world around collaboration for the sake of your purposes, for the sake of your word and your glory being known among the nations. And we ask, God, that you would help us to see our role in it. Lord, help us not overstep. Keep us from making assumptions. And keep us, Lord, unified in all of this so that we can together represent your body in a way that you receive glory from. Lord, take all of these things that we've discussed here today and bring about your very best purposes through them. We yield to you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, everybody.